Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you a 30 cent. Chris says, I totally agree with your guest. A happy wife is an easy life, says Chris. But does that make your, to keep your wife happy, obviously is easy. So that's good to know. There are another interesting Game of Thrones fact. We did mention that today is the anniversary of the start of the series. It was first shown in 2011 on HBO in the States. Over 150,000 dead bodies so far. We've also learned that it's the average of 3 boobs per show is the average in terms of nudity. But balanced against that, there are only 2 penises on show from season 1 to 5. The most nude scenes are from a male on screen is Theon Grey of the Iron Island. And I assume that's when he's getting tortured and having generally a horrible time. Anyway, Jonathan DeBurka Butler, himself a complete stranger to Game of Thrones, with us once again because he's too busy looking at stories from around the world. Good afternoon,
that's it,
Jonathan.
Exactly. How are you doing, Sean?
Not too bad. Now, Egypt, we're going to first. And 8 soldiers and 14 militants killed.
Yes, this is in Sinai, which is the top right corner of Egypt, I suppose, if you want to describe it that way, the north, the very northeast. And strategically, it's in a very interesting part of the world because, of course, it borders Israel. It's in Egypt, borders Israel. To the south is the Red Sea, and it also buffers the Gaza Strip as well. So it is an area that would be known for being difficult to control. Mm. Okay, and given that there are Bedouins living in that part of the world who have always felt that they haven't really been treated very well by Cairo and have been neglected by Cairo, it was always going to be a candidate for trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, and it has been trouble ever since 2011. And that is what the Egyptian government are trying to deal with. There was, back in November, a very large attack on a Sufi mosque, I think it was, which killed over 300 people. Now, that triggered El-Sisi, the president of Egypt, who was recently re-elected, of course, to send the military in there and basically quash any trouble that was in the area in 3 months. Now, it seems obvious that they haven't done that. And this latest attack, as you say, it managed to kill 8 Egyptian soldiers and 14 militants were killed in this particular attack as well. There was also several civilians wounded as well.
Yeah. Now, and if these people are, is it largely an Islamist insurgency, or is there some sort of regional gripe there?
So there's a regional gripe that's been there for years, and then when the whole thing happened with Mubarak, when was that? 2011
now,
yeah, at this stage?
About,
7
yeah.
years ago now. The Bedouins kind of separated, looking for their own state, and then of course the Islamists came in and took advantage of that.
Mm.
Some Bedouins rode in with them, and then Islamic State a couple of years later. The guys that were operating in the area, they pledged allegiance to Islamic State.
Right.
So it's been ongoing, but in different guises, shall we say, for a number of years.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay, we'll move on now to Tanzania now. And it's a story about bloggers.
Yeah, it's not just bloggers, it's all media. And I suppose the central point of this story is the ongoing dictatorial nature of John Magufuli, who came in 2015 as president, who already had the nickname the Bulldozer, but seems to be continuing that trend on. And now he's clamping down. He's already clamped down on opposition parties who can't hold rallies, and he's gone after the media before. Last year his big thing was issuing fines against newspapers left, right and centre. And now this year what he's essentially trying to do, or with this new law that he's brought in, he's essentially trying to put down any sort of media. Okay, so I'll give you a rundown of what he's doing basically. So if you want to have an online television station or an online radio station, okay, you'll have to pay an online application fee of about €35, an initial license fee of about €350, and an annual license fee of €350. Now that doesn't sound like much, but in Tanzania, it's a hell of a lot of money.
Okay.
And if you want to become a blogger, you have to pay €750, okay? And if you're not on that, you will be, if you're not on the list of authorized bloggers, you will be fined and could also be flung in jail as well. It goes further in that if you own a mobile phone, you have to have a password for that mobile phone. And I was wondering what the rationale behind that was, and it's really so they can trace back where you're sending messages or wherever on public platforms from.
Yeah.
And if you're caught without a PIN in your phone, you can also be fined and sent to jail. So some extraordinary measures taken here.
Right, staying on that continent, we're going to go over to Swaziland. We don't hear that much about Swaziland, no. But the king's wife has died.
Yeah, she his eighth wife. He has 15 in total. And this particular lady, Miss Sentini Masango, was her name when she was married to him in 1999. She was only 18 at the time, but she was his eighth wife, as I said. And it appears that she suffered from, well, the official statement is that she overdosed on over 40 capsules, which she was using for chronic pain, for rheumatic conditions, and also to treat depression and related orders. Now, I did see that he has basically, for the last 3 years, ignored this particular wife, and that might be one reason and one obvious reason for why it appears she has taken her own life. So quite a sad story.
It is quite a sad story. Is it being reported in Swaziland that the king's eighth wife has taken her own life, or?
Yes, I mean the official report from their statement from there, the king's wife is believed to have overdosed on about 40 capsules. So that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, yeah. That's so even not explicit, I suppose.
To be honest with you. Now she died on Friday and was buried on Sunday. So I think that will probably be the end of that particular story from her side of things.
Right. We're going to go to Cambodia next. Now, is this 32 people working for the US embassy have been fired?
Yeah, 32 people working for the US embassy in Cambodia have been fired because they were apparently sharing images on a social network messenger platform, and so they were sharing pornographic images, some of them of children apparently. Now I hasten to add that the statement from the US embassy, or sorry, Reuters got this story basically, okay, and they went into the embassy and confirmed it from people within the embassy. And they're basically, we're very quick to say that all of the people involved were either clerical officers or involved in security, and they were Cambodians or Cambodian Americans. So none of them were actually on the, what would you call, the diplomatic team.
Yeah, so they weren't Americans.
They weren't Americans as such. Now, it's still obviously highly embarrassing for the US embassy. The way that they were caught was that the wife of an embassy worker actually found the images on her husband's phone, I assume, and reported it to an official in the embassy. That went on to the FBI, and the FBI then investigated and discovered this sharing ring, for want of a better way of explaining it.
Right, so it was investigated by not by a Cambodian police.
The Cambodians have said nothing about this and so far, and it's interesting because at the moment the United States and Cambodia are not getting on well at all. So Cambodia last year effectively banned US NGOs from going into the country and says that the US is interfering in the politics of the country.
Yeah.
So it's the timing of it is not great at all in relation to their diplomatic relations either.
Yeah, and has there been any suggestion whatsoever that there may have been other motivations for firing Cambodians from working in the US embassy, given the relations between the two countries aren't great?
That's a great question, but I haven't seen anything in the reports, but it's an interesting take on it. I didn't think of that, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, right. Okay, Argentina we're going to now, and drugs have been eaten by mice. So yeah. Argentinian searching for stoned mice, presumably.
Yes, absolutely. That's according to these eight Argentine police officers in the city of Pilar, which is northwest of Buenos Aires. So it's actually the city's former police commissioner, Javier Specia, and his fellow officers, when they were asked about this, they told those investigating internal affairs, or whatever, that the missing marijuana, about 60 kilograms of it, was eaten by mice. So there was a haul of about 600 kilograms of marijuana that had been stashed away in storage or whatever. It was there for 2 years. 60 kilograms of it had gone missing. And this was noticed when the new police commissioner came in and kind of did a you know, checked out how much was in storage. He noticed there were 60 kilograms missing, told Internal Affairs, and they investigated it and traced it back to the former police commissioner, Javier Specia, who is now going to have to answer for it in early May.
Right, okay. And has he already volunteered this, the dog ate my homework excuse? Or
yes, that's apparently what they've said in the interviews. Now, it's said by an expert, to quote them, that mice wouldn't mistake the drug for food, and even if they did, a lot of corpses would have been found in the warehouse, apparently.
Yes, you'd have thought so.
Yeah.
Or you know, mice outside, you know, trying to sell it to each other. Right, Trinidad and Tobago are we going to go to now, and they've legalized sex between same-sex couples.
They have. Yeah. So there was, as is the case in many parts of the West Indies, including Jamaica, I believe, it was outlawed as kind of an overhang from the British Empire, from those old Victorian anti-buggery laws, they called them back then, and they have still continued on. And under the law, men convicted of having sex with each other could have been sent to prison for 25 years. Now, what's interesting about this is that instead of the history of this law becoming more enlightened, shall we say, they actually added on the sentences twice in the last number of years. In 1986, it was 10 years, and then in 2000, they brought it up to 25 years. So fighting this was quite a brave decision, and it was taken on by a man by the name of Jason Jones, who won this case. He brought it to the Constitutional Court in Trinidad and Tobago, who have now said that it's unconstitutional and it has been legalised.
Right, okay, so there was a law on the books that actually contradicted what was in the Constitution.
Yeah, so sections 13 and 16 of the Sexual Offences Act are unconstitutional, illegal, null, void, invalid, and have no effect, etc., etc., and that's what she said in her ruling.
Right, now
it's all around the it's all around the right to privacy. I think that's what the grounds of the defence were.
Okay, yeah, right. Singapore, we're going to go to now, and this is a story about marriage has been annulled. Does that mean they've effectively recognised somebody transitioning from one gender to another?
I suppose if you want to take a positive slant on it, yes, they have. Again, this goes back, the laws, again, a hangover from the time of the British Empire. Same-sex union is illegal in Singapore, but they don't enforce it, okay, basically. So in this scenario, what happened was a couple were married, Faith and Bryce Volta. They were married as a man and woman in 2015, and then Faith, who apparently is the man, or was the man in this case, went and had a gender reassignment, and changed her identification and everything, and that was all fine, and it was registered with the authorities in Singapore, but then they noticed that they were married, and of course same-sex union not being allowed, they came to the couple and said, this is illegal, so we're putting an annulment on your wedding.
Okay, even though they hadn't, both parties, were they bothered that their marriage was annulled? Did they consider themselves still married, or did they want to be still married? Or
well,
was it known?
Presumably they are together still, because they are taking this case to the High Court, I believe, and I think a law firm is going to act pro bono for them and see how they get on.
Ah, well, we shall see. Right, finally we're going to go to Sweden, and this is an interesting technological development for electric cars.
Yes, please, it's technology, so don't ask me too many questions.
Okay,
basically, you will be able to charge your electric car on 2 kilometres of electric rail that has been embedded in a public road near Stockholm. Now, the only thing I can say about it is that apparently it looks a little bit like Scalextrics, and I did have a look at it. You drive along the road and a big arm comes up off the road. It attaches to the battery, and that's how they charge your battery.
Oh, right, really? Okay, that you can see disaster written all over that idea somehow.
I had a few questions about it, all right, but apparently they're good to go on it, and they're going to, if it works well, they're going to roll it out to the rest of the country, and they're in fact in talks with Germany to try and sort of hook it up across Europe somehow.
Right, it's an interesting idea, though it's pretty pricey.
Well, it's not as pricey as laying for a tram line. Apparently, it's $1 million per, or €1 million per kilometre. Okay, and
wow,
apparently the cost of it, that's 50 times lower than the required amount to construct an urban tram line. But
yeah, but I suppose you wouldn't need it on all roads. You just need it in a small section of road every now and again that you just drive through there, get a charge and off you go.
Exactly.
Right, okay, interesting. Right, what do we look out for over the next week or so,
Jonathan? Okay, so there's a few things coming up. So I think one thing is the Prime Minister of India, Modi, is on a European tour. He's in Sweden and he'll be in the UK, I think, either tomorrow or the day after. So that should be relatively interesting. Then on Sunday, there's a presidential election in Paraguay. And on Sunday also, it is Earth Day. So you'll have to turn off your lights for an hour or so.
Okay, so happy Earth Day. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming in with us. Jonathan DeBurka-Butler there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.